Let us pray in silence to prepare our hearts for the family altar. Amen. In Jesus' name, let us commence with our family altar. Sing hymn 278, 278. We have heard the joyful song, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every man, climb the steps and cross the waves. On the peace our Lord's command, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Rushing on the rolling tide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing the island of the sea, echo back the ocean cries. Hold your feet, hold your belief, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly to the grave, when the heart for mercy prays. Sing in triumph o'er the tomb, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the wind a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation through and through, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Thank the Lord for tonight's family altar. Let us read Psalms 69. Psalms 69. Because altogether there are 36 verses, we will not read it through once. As we go on to the different parts, then we will read the verses. In the superscription, Psalms 69, it tells us to the choir master, according to lilies. It is likened to Psalms 45. This according to lilies tells us about the tune or the melody. Of course, we are not sure how it sounds. And here says a psalm of David. Psalm 69, it is also a messianic psalms. There are three verses or four verses that tells us about Christ. Let us read Psalms 69, verse 4. Psalms 69, verse 4. More in number than the hairs of my head are those who hate me without cause. This second statement says, those who hate me without cause. Let's turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 25. John chapter 15, verse 25. Verse 25. It is to fulfill the word that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. In this part, the Lord tells us about those who will hate the apostles, as they also hated the Lord. So Jesus then quoted this, as it is to fulfill the word that was written, they hated me without a cause. John 15:25. The second statement, let us turn back, John 69. John 69, verse 9. For zeal for thy house has consumed me. This is in John chapter 2. John chapter 2 verse 17. His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for thy house will consume me. This is the second statement in relation to Jesus. Thirdly, also 69, Psalm 69 verse 9, the lower portion. And insults of those who insult thee have fallen on me. This is quoted by Apostle Paul. Let us refer to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 verse 3. Romans 15 verse 3. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach thee fell upon me. And the third statement, Psalms 69 verse 21. Psalms 69 verse 21. They give me poison for food. For my thirst, they give me vinegar to drink. It tells us, for my thirst, they give me vinegar to drink. We can cross-reference this with John chapter 19. John chapter 19, 28 and 29. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was finished, said to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. 29. A bowl full of vinegar stood there, so they put a sponge full of vinegar on hyssop and held it to his mouth. It is to fulfill the scripture, as in Psalm 69. So thank the Lord. Altogether, there are four verses that is quoted in the New Testament in relation to Jesus the Christ. So Psalm 69, it is a messianic psalm. Psalm 69, we can divide it into four parts. Four parts. It tells us about the prayer of David. In the first part, from verse 1 to verse 12. Verse 1 to verse 12, it tells us about the prayer of David and oppressed, his oppressed condition. Alright, the prayer of David and his oppressed condition. He tells us the condition that he was in. In verse 1 to 3, let us read verses 1 to 3. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire. Where there is no foothold, I have come into deep waters and the flood sweeps over me. 3. I am weary with my crying. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim while waiting for my God. It tells us the condition. David described to us the condition that he was in. Likened to at the time, he was in deep waters, in the mud, and he was sinking fast, and there was no foothold for him to stand. So it tells us he was at the danger of drowning. He lacked oxygen. He was in deep distress, and his life was in danger. He cried to the Lord, save me, O God. And to what extent? Verse 3, I am weary with crying. He cried and cried, means he continued to pray to the Lord. So his strength was exhausted. And because of his cry, his throat became dry. And in the Hebrew, it is inflamed. And his eyes grow dim. Because at the time he was exhausted, and if he was sweating and struggling, so his eyes now grew dim. His vision failed. He could not see clearly. But all this while waiting for God. So David, he was in this condition, danger to his life. So he prayed, "Save me, O God." Verse 4 and 5. 4 and 5, David now described his enemies. Verse 4, "More in number than the hairs of my head." It tells us about their number. There were numerous, many of them. And those who hate me without cause, they were very malicious. Mighty are those who would destroy me. So they were very powerful. They were strong. They were mighty. Those who attack me with lies, what I did not steal, must I now restore? So they spoke lies. They slander. They make accusation. They insulted David. So verse 4 tells us about his enemies. It described to us his enemies. They were so great in number. They were malicious. They were powerful and mighty. And they spoke word of slander, accusation, lies, and insult. Verse 5, "O God, thou knowest my folly, and wrongs I have done are not hid from thee." Not to say that David had done wrong, but now David declares his innocence. God knows the position that he is in. If he has done wrong, nothing is hidden. So all these attacks from the enemy, it is not true. They went against him. So 4 and 5 describe to us his enemies. Next, 6 to 12. 6 to 12, at the time he prayed in verse 6, "Let not those who hope in thee be put to shame through me, O Lord, God of hosts. Let not those who seek thee be brought to dishonor through me, O God of Israel." David, he was concerned. He hoped that he will not be a stumbling block to others. Those who hope in God, those who seek God, that they will not be put to shame or dishonor because of him. So on one hand, while he was in deep trouble, in deep distress, dangers to his life, but on the other hand, he was also concerned that his situation may be a stumbling block to others. So he also prayed about this matter. He hoped that his present situation will not hinder others to turn to God. Now 7 and 8. 7 and 8. It tells us why he was oppressed. The reason. Verse 7, verse 8. "For it is for thy sake that I borne reproach, that shame has covered my face. 8. I have become a stranger to my brethren, an alien to my mother's son." David tells us very clearly, it is for thy sake that I have been reproached. For the name of the Lord, he stood for the truth of the Lord. So he was being reproved. This is the first reason. Second reason, verse 9. "For zeal for thy house has consumed me, and insult of those who insult thee have fallen on me." So he was very zealous for the house of God, or we say for God and the matters of God. So therefore, he was being insulted. The insult of those who insulted God has fallen on him. So again, it is the same because of his zeal for the Lord, for the matters of God, for the house of God. This is the second reason. The third reason, David led a pious life, a life of devotion, a life of worship. Verse 10 to 12, "When I humbled myself with fasting," or "when his soul moans with fasting, it became my reproach. Some they do not like to see what David was doing in devotion, in mourning, in fasting. To them, it is a work of hypocrisy, not sincere. So they were not very pleased. when David says he humbled himself, he made himself moan with fasting. They felt offended. Verse 11, when I make sackcloth my clothing, I became a byword to them. So he not only fasted, but he moaned, he grieved, but it became a byword. They were not very pleased about what David was doing. Verse 12, I am the talk of those who sit in the gate, and the drunkards make songs about me. It tells us those who spoke of him. Those seated at the gate, they were of high position, high rank, like the judges, the magistrate, and the drunkards make songs about me. Those who are low in position, they were commoners. So whether be it the commoners or those in high position, they talk bad about David. So this was the situation that David was in. So he prayed about it, and he mentioned, he told God about his oppressed condition. Second part, verse 13 to 21. 13 to 21, this is David's prayer for deliverance. David's prayer for deliverance. In verse 13 to 15, or we can read 13 to 18. But as for me, my prayer is to thee, O Lord. He directed his prayer to the Lord. He turned back to the Lord. But as for me, my prayer is to the Lord. At an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of thy steadfast love, answer me. With thy faithful hand, rescue me from sinking into the mire. Let me be delivered from my enemies and from the deep waters. 15. Let not the flood sweep me over, or the deep swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. 16. Answer me, O Lord, for thy steadfast love is good. According to thy abundant mercy, turn to me. Hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in distress. Make haste to answer me. 18. Draw near to me, redeem me, set me free because of my enemies. David prayed to the Lord for deliverance. He acknowledged his position, verse 17, from thy servant. So he acknowledged that he was only a servant of the Lord. Of course, he was the king, but before God, he was God's servant. He was God's faithful servant. So now in his prayer, we are able to see he understands the Lord that he worships. As we say in verse 13, as for me, my prayer is to thee. And he says at an acceptable time. This is God's time. It is not our time. We cannot force God to act. But of course, we can ask the Lord to hearken to our prayer. But it is in the end according to God's time. And verse 13, the fourth line, with thy faithful help. So he knows that God is faithful. Again, verse 16, O Lord, thy steadfast love is good. In verse 13, the same, in the abundance of thy steadfast love. Verse 16, according to thy abundant mercy, hide not thy face. Verse 17. So in his prayer, he prayed that according to God's time, according to God's faithfulness, according to God's steadfast love, according to God's abundant mercy, he prayed that the Lord will not hide his face from him. And we are able to see also, not only that he knew the Lord that he worshipped, now in his prayer for deliverance, in verse 13, he says, answer me. Verse 14, rescue me. Verse 14, let me be delivered, means deliver me. Verse 15, let not the flood sweep over me or swallow me, and let not the pit close over me. He was in such a dangerous position. So he prayed that the Lord will answer him, rescue him, deliver him. that he will not be swept away or the pit closed upon him. In verse 18, draw near to me, again to me, redeem me, set me free. All right, so this was the content of his prayer to God for help. And 19 to 21, again, he tells us about his condition, that the Lord knew about his condition, and he prayed that the Lord will act so that his enemies will not prevail against him, so that God's name will not be defiled or shamed. Verse 19, thou knowest my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. My foe are all known to thee. Insult hath broken my heart, so that I am in despair. I look for pity, but there was none. For comforters, but I found none. They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. In this part, David tells us about his condition. Again, he told God about this. So therefore, he says about his reproach, about his shame, about his dishonor. So all this the Lord knows, and even the Lord knows about his enemy. So he was in that situation that his heart was broken because of the insult. He was in despair. And what more, he looked for pity. He looked for others for help, but there was none. For comforters, and he found none. So no man was able to help him. There's only one solution. He turned to the Lord, and even his enemies gave him poison for food, and for thirst, he says, vinegar. So in this second part, he prayed for deliverance. In the third part, 22, verse 22 to 28. Now in his prayer, he prayed that his enemies be judged. It is an imprecatory psalm. It is likened to praying that the Lord will so-called punish and curse or judge them. So this part, it is an imprecatory prayer. Pray that his enemies be judged. Verse 22 to 28. Let their own table before them become a snare. Let their sacrificial feast be a trap. Means evil come against themselves. Recompense for what they have done. So let the table be spread. Verse 21. They give him poison for food. For his thirst, they give him vinegar. Now David prayed that this turn back upon his enemies. Let the table before them become a snare. Now even what they sacrifice become a trap to them. He prayed that the Lord will recompense them. Verse 23. Let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see, and make their loins tremble continually. So he prayed that they were not able to see clearly, and means that they will not know their position and turn back, and that heavy burden will be upon them, so that now even their loins will tremble continually. They will be under burden, strengthless. 24. Pour out thy indignation upon them. Let thy burning anger overtake them. So he prayed that the Lord manifest his indignation and anger. 25. May their camp be a desolation and no one dwell in their tents. This is clear. 26. For they persecuted him before whom thou hast smitten, and him whom thou hast wounded they afflicted still more. Means they never show forth mercy. They never show forth pity or compassion. But they continue to hurt that person. 27. So David prayed, add to them punishment upon punishment. May they have no acquittal from thee. Means pray that the Lord now will act. The Lord will not forgive them because they have come to this state. And 28. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living. Let them not be enrolled among the righteous. So some equate this with the book of life, means that they will not be saved. They will receive the punishment of the Lord. So this third part, David prayed that God judge his enemies. And the last part, 29 to 36, it tells us the concluding song of praise and the assurance that David had. 29, but I am afflicted and in pain. So he was in this condition, but now he prayed that, let thy salvation, O God, set me on high. So he was very sure that the Lord will save him. So let thy salvation, O Lord, set me on high. This was his confidence in God, his faith. 30, I will praise the name of the Lord with song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. So this will be his praise, his songs, his thanksgiving. And this will be what? Verse 31, this will please the Lord more than an ox or bull with horns and hoof. So this type of an offering, the songs, the praises, the thanksgiving, it is the most acceptable sacrifice that he will give to the Lord, in which the Lord will be very pleased. 32, let the oppressed see it and be glad. You who seek God, let your heart revive. Yes, Lord, for the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his own that is in bond. So David knew God, and this was his assurance. And he knew the Lord will continue to save. He will revive his people and hear those who are in need. The Lord will hearken, the Lord will save. So in the end, 34 to 36, let heavens and earth praise him, universal, and seas and everything that moves therein, let the creation praise him. For God will save Zion and rebuild the cities of Judah, and his servants shall dwell there and possess it, and children of his servants shall inherit it, and those who love his name shall dwell in it. Even though this part we are not clear about its historical background in relation to David, but some says it points to the future in relation to the Babylonian captivity. But no matter what, we know that this part, it is the praise, the thanksgiving to the Lord, and which concerns Zion, which concerns Judah, which concerns his people, that the Lord will continuously bless. Alright, so this is Psalm 69. It tells us about David's prayer for deliverance when he was oppressed, when he was in a pitiable and a dangerous and a distressed state. He turned to the Lord. So let us pray that the Lord guide us, the Lord strengthen us, the Lord will have mercy on us. We will spend now the rest of the time in prayer. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us recite the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you to the grace of the Lord, we end our family altar here. May the Lord bless and guide, and may the peace of the Lord be with us. Amen.